It's Kanisha here. Thank you so much for all of your feedback on my last episode with Mariam Alima. I really love hearing what you have to say. Now, today, I have another great conversation for you. Tasia joined me to discuss creativity and the responsibility that comes along with it. So, let's get into it. So I'm excited about this interview today because Tasia is the first guest that I think has been recommended. Oh, maybe the second. I haven't posted it yet, so it slipped my mind. But the second guest that has been like recommended by a former guest. So JL introduced me to Tasia like 2 weeks ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. And we met up and we talked and it was just like we're on the same wavelength. And that conversation that we had could have been a podcast on its own if we weren't in such a loud room when we had it.
Yeah, yeah. But definitely.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see where this conversation goes. We, like usual, we don't really have a roadmap. And I find that when I'm not so like rigid or have my mind made up about what the conversation will be about, it usually takes a more interesting turn because we get to like just go based on what we're thinking and, you know, where that leads us. And it's an interesting process. So why don't you introduce yourself to the people, Tasia?
My name is Tasia, and I am from Grand Rapids, Michigan. And what I do, that's not a question. As we were talking about last time we spoke, one of the things that's hard is getting asked, what do you do? Especially when you're creative. I do some of everything. I'm an artist. I sing and rap mostly, getting into producing music heavily. I'm thinking about getting into film. I'm not really sure yet. It's an interest.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily say not the acting aspect of it, but more of the production aspect of it.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get more into the production of things, but I'm mainly a musician. I'm mainly a musician. Yeah.
What's your favorite part of like the creative process?
I don't know. I'm like a, I've learned that I'm one of those people who likes to solve puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to look at it as if it's like a puzzle. And I feel like whenever you put the pieces in, it's just so thrilling to me. And that's why I'm falling in love more with the production aspect of everything. That's why I said in music, I'm starting to fall in love more with the production side, because like when you like plug in all those instruments in and like just seeing it all come together to a masterpiece, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I think my favorite part of the creative process is like when I first have the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When I first get the idea, it's like, oh my gosh, this would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And that just like, I like coming up with names for things, like even before I really have an idea. Like, I have so many names for things that, like, I don't even know what it would be, but I'm like, that'd be a cool name.
Yeah.
I like the very, very beginning is, like, probably my favorite part of it.
I like I said, I just like, sometimes the beginning is hard because for, it's like,
where do
you
we
have
go?
So many different ideas to start with, and it's like, for me, the beginning is always the hardest because it's like, okay, I'm ready to set my foot on something and get running. So I kind of like the middle part where everything's getting put together, because at that point you do have a solid foundation. It's like you got something to work with.
Yeah.
So now you get to figure out like which direction you want to go. So the middle part to me is the best part. Like I said, the plugging the pieces in.
I think it goes back to how much of a planner I am. So I like coming up with like my strategy for how I'm gonna.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, it's so optimistic. At the beginning, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
So we were talking about how you feel about your music and like how you have like a lot of things that you've done in the past that like you're not sure how you want to approach letting go. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, because I think I'm stuck on the ideal of first impression.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to me trying to figure out, like, dang, do I want to start from where I am now, or do, you know, I want to dig in the crates and let everything release? I think for me it's hard, because it's like the first impression is like, do I want people to see me for who I am now, because I'm not, like I said, I'm not necessarily there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, do I want to start there, or do I want to start where I'm at? I think the way I felt about that was, it's like, dang, do I want to release the old me, or do I want to release the new me and start from here?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, if I don't start from the old me, then people wouldn't be able to see my growth. People wouldn't be able to see my progress. And the only reason that's an issue is because you are so uncomfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think as an artist, one of the hardest things is that you really experience everything in front of everybody.
Yeah.
So it's like, why do I have to expose my experiences and expose that part of me, and it's uncomfortable to where it's like, I want to keep it to myself, but as an artist, this is my job to show my growth through my work.
Because for most people, who they've been is not frozen in time in any place. I mean, it's in the people who knew them or themselves, they can, you know, remember that, but it's not, you can't like look it up online and listen to it.
But I think with that, it's all just about being comfortable and accepting the fact that this is your journey, man, and this is your documentation of your journey, and that's just a part of you. And for me, it's like, I had to realize that. I just had a conversation with someone at a video shoot, and they just told me, like, hey, the beginning music, that's you. You know what I'm saying? You listen to it for the passion. You know what I'm saying? So it's all about studying your passion. So with that, I just told myself, you know what? This is you.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be comfortable in your skin and what you bring to the table.
Yeah.
Because creativity, it's no rules. It's no, that's right, that's wrong. It's you.
And know how that piece of yourself works into who you are now.
Works it's not into like you who just... you are. Like I said, the pieces to the puzzle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's your journey. That's a part of you. Like, you have to show your transformation. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? It's your documentation of where you have been and where you're going.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you're able to, when you look back at that and then you look at where you are now, you kind of do get a vision of where you're going. Like, wow, I'm walking in this direction. And I think the good thing about life is you're always able to stand still for a moment, reflect, and you're able to, it's really up to you which direction you want to go.
Yeah, decide how you want to pivot.
Mm-hmm.
I was just telling someone that the other day.
Mm-hmm.
They were saying, like, they wanted to move forward, and they felt like they couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, I mean, you can always move forward. You can't change what happened, but, like, you can decide what the rest is going to be.
And I think that is all about fear and making a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
In the direction.
Right, yeah.
It's all about you, like, man, we get stuck because some of us are hardcore thinkers. We think about everything from here to forward, you know what I'm saying? So if you're thinking about the consequences of every decision you make, sometimes it's hard to make a decision.
Yeah.
So like I said, I feel like it's the fear in making the mistake and going the wrong direction, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
I feel like for me, it's like, I've suffered from that, having that fear of, And I think that's where the role of self-criticism came in, because I was so hard on myself as, okay, which direction now? Because that old music was a test for me. The test of, hey, is this something I really want to do? Do I really like it? You know, and it showed me how talented I was at it.
Mm-hmm.
So when the real deal came in, like, okay, where do you want to go? And it's like, as I'm trying to figure out where I want to go, my character is being worked on.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm here. It's like, I'm the new person. But I got all this music from back then. And I'm here now. And it's like, I'm ready to go. Sometimes it can get confusing.
Yeah. That was me even talking about like being stuck and not even knowing like which way to pivot, like these mics that we're using right now. So like the first few episodes of this podcast, I recorded them on my phone without any mics. And then I was like, okay, I need to get some mics. And just choosing a mic, I was like afraid to make the wrong mic decision. And so like I took like a month or two trying to figure out like which mic to get, when like anything really would have been better than what I had, you know? But it's just like the fear of like making the wrong decision. I think that's something that is interesting because of technology and our ability to like have so much information. That information can be become very overwhelming to even sift through. And like, it's like there's so much we can know, there's so much we have access to, but even like, where do we start? It can be very, very daunting. And you feel like, because you have all this information, you have to make a perfect decision.
A perfect decision. And I feel like when it comes to being creative, creativity is the area where you should be able to like flow. Flow. And it seems like even creativity has become so logical. It's not, you can't really flow anymore. It's like, is this right? Is this wrong? Is this going to be the right thing?
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, man, we just gotta flow. We just really have to flow. And I think fear, man, fear is just from not knowing. It's all it is. And you have to accept the fact that some things you won't know. So you won't know how some people receive you. Or, you know, people like this, like that, you don't know if this will work. All you can do is try, you know, and give yourself room to make mistakes, too, with it.
And it's like, because we can't even see the full picture, say you make a decision, right? Maybe things, like, work out okay for you. You don't know whether or not that other decision would have worked out better or worse. So, like, I mean, just lean into where you are now, because there's no way of knowing how it would have turned out if you had made the other decision. So it's like, standing still isn't helpful, and like looking at, you know, they say the grass is greener on the other side. Like,
yeah,
you never know what that would have looked like for you had you gone that route.
Yeah, and it's all about just moving forward. That's what I'm getting from all my experiences now. Everything has led, even this conversation, everything has led up to, hey, you just have to move forward. And fear is just you not knowing what's going to happen, and you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. It's a 50% chance it can go good, 50% chance it can go bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The only thing you can do is try. And even if it doesn't work, then you can say, hey, I know what doesn't work.
Yeah, right. Learn something.
Let's go at it again. You know what I mean? Let's go at it again.
Yeah. I did a podcast, I think it was number 16. We talked about permission to fail.
Yeah.
And just talking about, like, you just got to try things, because if you don't try them, you won't be able to like hone your skills, or you'll just get stuck. And just being able to keep making and keep producing things, that's how you actually improve.
Yes. And even with the, like you said, trying, keep doing it, and you never know what will happen. Yo, just like we said earlier, spontaneous things come out of unexpected situations.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, even with me starting to, you know, produce my own beats, you know, in the beginning, it wasn't so good. But then there would be days where I was sitting in front of the computer and I just look up and I'm doing stuff and I'm like, how am I? It's crazy, man.
And it's interesting because it's difficult to gauge productivity with, like, creativity. Because I personally feel that there are times that you just need to give your mind just room. Just room to sit. Like, it might feel like you're not doing anything, you're not coming up with any ideas, you're not being productive. But I feel like in that space of just, like, being, your mind is able to just kind of, like, process and sit and just, like, figure things out. And then when you do come up with those great ideas, I feel like it's a result of, you know, the time that you've had to, like, process life.
Yeah. That happens a lot. Like, a lot of times when I'm making beats, let's say I get stuck or let's just say I've been listening to the same tune for a minute and I just want to take a break. It's crazy. Like, I step away for about an hour, or it may be even be a day or 2 hours step away. And it's like, I come back and I don't know if my ears had done enhanced or I just have like the rain. It's like, it just like you said, sometimes you do have to allow yourself to step back, rejuvenate, and then come back into it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, when you get to do that, your mind, like you said, it gives your mind room to receive ideas. Sometimes your mind be so clouded with your productivity and all that you're doing and just being restless at the same time. Being restless takes up a lot of space in your mind. And a lot of people don't, you know, they don't really understand that. And I think one thing as a creative, we're always taught that work hard, stay up, be up late, overnight, don't sleep. That's what it means. That's what it means to be so into it. And it's like, no.
Not necessarily.
You know, you got to allow, you got to nurture your creative side. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So,
and you have to live life to have things to
experience, to have things to talk about. You know what I'm saying? Or have things to just to even be inspired. Be inspired. I think one thing that a lot of artists suffer from, but it's, I feel like it's two type of artists. You got the extrovert, is that what it's called? And the introvert. And I feel like the introvert is just so, the introvert is in a cage, man. And the introvert needs to understand the only way you're going to be able to be set free is if you set yourself free. You have to set yourself free first. Because your mind and your creativity and, you know, and stuff isn't here. You know, just set this free and then you'll be able to flow.
I think something that I've been realizing lately is just how important it is for me to be in creative spaces. Because most people I've been surrounded by for pretty much all of my life have appreciated my creativity, but they're not necessarily on the same path. And so I've just noticed, like, since I've moved back here and I've had the opportunity to be around more creative people, like, I've been writing more things. I've just had more, I think creativity feeds off of creativity. And so just being surrounded by it, just, like, the juices are always flowing. Like, my mind is now constantly in a state of creativity, like, using everything I experience and thinking, like, how can I use this creatively to give something back to the world?
Same way with the church, yo. What do they say? In order to stay in rightful position, you have to make sure you're in fellowship sometime. You know what I'm saying? Because the journey can be hard when you're doing it alone, you know, you don't have any motivation or people who truly understand what that journey is like. One of the things I heard you say is how you said you have people who it was like they were supportive, but it's not to the extent, I wouldn't say to the extent, but it's like they don't really have the understanding that you need them to have for you. That definitely does play a part in, you know, your journey with it, because sometimes it can make you suppress your own, you know, especially if you feel like your ideas and stuff are too big and other people don't understand it. It's like, well, maybe I should be quiet, because
And I'm the kind of person that I like, I really like sharing things. It's really hard for me to keep things to myself. Like, I wish I could, you know, that whole move in silence thing. I really wish I could. I just, I cannot.
Yes, it's the struggle. You're like, man, I'm gonna get to it. I'm moving in silence.
I'm just gonna do it, and it's gonna be great.
Dog, you be like, y'all, guess what?
I have so many things that I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna like share this with anyone, and then like I tell one person, I tell a couple other people, and I'm just like, oh man, well, but like, there's that.
I've done it again.
Yeah. I put up, so on my wall, I put up, I printed out things that I've written, just because I realized that for me, it's hard for me, like we talked about, like, how everything is digital now. Mm-hmm. I do not thrive in digital.
Me like, neither.
It bothers me that I can't just, like, see everything. Like, I can't read digital books. I need to, like, flip the pages.
Yeah, me too. And so I don't know, it just has more substance.
Yeah, and so I noticed, like, for my creativity, I need it, like, spread out so I can see it and, like, make connections. Because it was, like, once I put everything up there, I'm like, oh, wait, that's how I can use that. Because when it's just, like, hidden away in some note somewhere, it's like, how do I find it to use it?
Man, that was crazy. That's crazy that you say that. One day I was in the studio, and I was about to record my verse, and I remember, you know, I had my phone up. And I was just so irritated with having my phone. I don't know. It was just something about the phone. Yeah. So I'm like, you know what? Hold on. Because I don't like this, having to scroll up and down. You know, hold on.
And then it starts dying. And then you have to put
your password. Man, I went in another room. I got a notebook tab. And I wrote everything on the mm-hmm. paper. I don't know. It just gave me a whole nother feel.
Yeah.
It was a whole nother feel.
When you can like, physically touch it.
It just gave it a whole nother feel. And yeah. It was just like, it just gave it a whole nother feel. And I was mm-hmm. like, you know what? The power of writing something down, it would truly manifest. And mm-hmm. that song actually manifested to be a great piece of work. You know yeah. what I mean? I was like, yeah, I definitely don't like digital. Especially, you know, being an artist, all the social media and stuff like that. Like I said, being an introvert, you know, you don't have this loud, super loud personality or hey, look at me type thing. And it's kind of hard, especially maneuvering in this time because everything yeah. is so digital and technology and social media and all that. It's like, oh, it's going to be a pretty tough one for the one with the social anxiety.
Yeah. Know? How would you categorize your introversion? Because, like, I'm realizing that there are a lot of different types of introverts. So, like, how do you say your introversion alters the way that you interact with the world? How do you approach the world from that?
I don't know. I'd probably say somebody I compare myself to a little bit, somebody like Prince. Mm-hmm. Because Prince is, like, a dope individual. He can do it all. You know, I'm talking about legend. He do it all. But Prince was a very, like, private person. You know what yeah. I'm saying? I think that's just my level of introvertness. I'm just extremely, like, private, you know?
But is that private, like, overall or with, like, in what areas? Because you said, like, you like to share. Mm-hmm. So, like, how does that...
I like to share, like, a lot of, like, You said with who?
Yeah, so, like, who does that apply to and who does it not apply to?
My family. Mm-hmm. Because my family, they know me, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I feel like with them, it's no... I don't know. My family are just... I just feel comfortable with myself, with my family. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people are careless. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And these days, like I said, there's no substance or anything like that. So people just come and go. You know yeah. what I'm saying? So in order for me to let you in my world, I have to know that you're here. You yeah. know, if you want right. to come and go people, then you're going to be a come and go. You know what I'm saying? But other yeah. than that, like, if you're here to stay, then you may be invited in. But other right. than that, if you're going to be a come and go, you can stay come and go.
I think for me, like, I recently been, like, reevaluating how I see myself, and I'm realizing that I have felt a certain responsibility, like, to try to share who I am with people, because I feel like I don't have, like, that strong extroverted personality, mm-hmm. so I find myself, like, just wanting to, like, figure out how to, like, show people
pressure to be open?
Pressure to show people who I am in ways that, like, okay, so I'm sitting in a room, like, with mm-hmm. people, like, my mind is going, like, okay, so, like, how am I being perceived in this room mm-hmm. and how do I, like, show who I am? because I've realized recently, like, the power that my silence holds.
Draw people in. Yeah. It's mysterious, and they're like, well.
Right. Draws people in. And I feel like I've had to, like, I felt the pressure to, like, go out and, like, show people, you know?
Yeah.
And there's so much. I've been on this, like, whole journey to figure out, like, which aspects of myself do I need to, like, work harder to improve, and which aspects are just, like, who I am. Do I need, like, just lean into those?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, I've been learning to reframe the way I see myself. And I think that's so important as an introvert, to just be, like, comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Because the world is very much... very much an extroverted, extrovert appreciating place.
Yeah.
And so just understanding, like, how you work and, like, the unique qualities that you bring to the world.
Trusting that.
Yeah.
Trusting your testimony too.
Mm-hmm.
Trusting your path, trusting the way your life is. A lot of people feel like, oh, my story's not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
When truthfully, a lot of people in the world have the same story as you, but it just hasn't been told yet.
Said, yeah.
Because a lot of these things you're telling me, you just said, it feels like I'm in therapy. It really does.
Cool. That's awesome.
Feels like therapy, yo.
I feel like in my life, I've been, there's so many things that I have always had interest in mm-hmm. doing. But I'm also the type of person that I always felt like I wanted to do something, like, unconventional, out of the box. And you were asking me earlier, like, if I always thought of going to college, or, like, what that my decision around that was. And I was telling you how, like, for me, it was never, like, will I or won't I go to college? It was always I was going to go to college. But I feel like what I got out of college was more just self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, like, the academic portion of it was, like, oh, this is, I feel so much more academically, mm-hmm. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever the word is.
And heightened.
Stuff, yeah. Yeah. But it's, like, I realized in college, because I switched my major so many times, but...
What was that like, switching majors for you? Because that's one of the fears for me. Two of the fears was cost
mm-hmm.
and me switching all the time. It was, like...
I mean... I think it allowed me to see that all of the things that I've been interested in, there are ways for me to do those things in an unconventional way. Mm-hmm. So, like, I thought about, I always had an interest in, like, curriculum development. And so with my book, that's something that I'm able to explore.
Mm-hmm.
I like teaching, and I teach violin, so
mm-hmm.
that's where I get that piece. And I think, like, in everything that I do, like, education is a piece of it. I thought about going to, I think it was 1 year or 2 years ago, 2 years ago. It was, like, 1 year after I graduated from college, and I'm like, what am I doing? I felt, like, some sort of pressure that wasn't coming from anywhere. It was my own pressure I was putting on myself to, like, do something. I'm like, what am I doing? And I was, like, thinking about going to grad school for counseling, because I feel like it's something that I would be good at. I feel like I would make a good therapist, but... doing that would, like, take away from all of the other things
yeah.
that I want to do. So I've realized that, like, I just need to be comfortable in taking note of the things that interest me and figuring out, like, why.
Mm-hmm.
And then figuring out how I can, like,
intertwine.
feed those interests mm-hmm. in the things that I'm doing without, like, pouring everything into, like, that path.
Mm-hmm.
That path that I think is it. Think mm-hmm. in air quotes. But, yeah, I'm a very introspective person, so I like having conversations like mm-hmm. these, where we're just, like, thinking about, like, how we approach things. Because I think it's valuable to hear how other people approach life,
mm-hmm.
if only to, like, deepen your ability to understand others.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, you know, there are so many perspectives out there.
Yeah.
And sometimes we think, like, our way is is the only way or mm-hmm. the best way. And it's like, you know, there are other ways, and... doesn't mean they're worse or better. It's just
mm-hmm.
different.
Wow. Yeah, this is very therapeutic. A lot of the things you're saying, I'm just sitting back. I can't even say nothing to it, because it's like, yo, was I really wonder, I mean, I know why he told me to come here.
Who?
J.O. But I wonder what made him think I was ready for something like this.
I'll have to ask him. Call J.O. right now. Get him
on the line. So, like, he's getting to it, y'all. But, yeah, it's crazy. Okay, we can continue.
Oh, that was all part of it.
Huh?
That was all part of it.
Oh, you was recorded?
Yeah.
Oh, you got a little sneakster.
I mean, I was about to stop it, and then I was like, you know, I feel like if I just leave it, I'll edit it later. We'll figure it
yeah,
out.
Yeah, but this is really dope.
Come forward a little bit.
I think that another thing is there's leadership in creativity.
Mm, yeah.
And I think a lot of us are running from leadership. We don't want that responsibility.
I need to write that down. Go ahead. Sorry. We don't want that responsibility, you're saying.
Me and J.O. were talking about, lately we've been talking about responsibility, accountability, and how much we want from it. And I think sometimes being a creative person, one of the things that stop you from being creative, because you hold yourself accountable for the so-called trend you may set.
Expound on that a little bit.
Creativity is not supposed to have any limits, right? You're supposed to explore, and you just don't have no limits. You know, it's just an open playground for you. And I think that sometimes you don't know how people are going to receive your creativity, how they're going to interpret it. Uh-huh. For instance, like rap, you know what I'm saying? Especially if you're a hip-hop artist, you know what I'm saying? And you coming in and you telling your story, it's your truth, but somebody might take it as this is the way for me to go.
Yeah.
You know right. what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's like sometimes you think about the consequences of your creativity and what it may bring or what it may cause, and sometimes mm-hmm. that kind of gets in the way, and you don't yeah. want to have that accountability or responsibility, which would make you a leader.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It will yeah. make you a leader. You got responsibility, accountability, and you have the power of influence, which is your creativity. Mm-hmm. Your creativity is so powerful, it can influence. You know what I'm saying? So the concept of creativity and leadership,
I mean, because we definitely do put people on a pedestal. And it's like that whole conversation that people have is like, do you separate the artist from their art?
Mm-hmm.
And like, how far do we take like our moral stance on who a person is mm-hmm. versus what they do?
Mm-hmm. And also giving yourself permission to fail too.
Yeah.
Even when you're a leader, like so much pressure, like I can't mess up.
Yeah.
Because I'm not expected to mess up. You know, everything has to be on point. And I guess you can say that's probably what ties back into me not wanting to release the old music
mm-hmm.
is because I wasn't necessarily a leader at that point. Mm-hmm. I didn't necessarily understand the power of what I was doing. Now that I do, it's like, it's kind of like that thorn inside a yeah. little bit. Like,
I mean, and I think the difference is, like, do you want to frame it with anything? Like, do you want to give that context or that background or, like, let people into knowing that this was and not is?
Have a balance with your openness, too.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I feel like the world is so pressuring with this word openness. Some of us, we are being told things and we're taking it so literal. We're not really understanding what's being told. Like, some people receive openness as just,
they can't see you.
You know, it's like just arms open and just you can have a balance, man. Like, you can keep some parts. I learned from Aaliyah, the artist to pass away. Mm-hmm. I learned from her, there's some things you can keep. And it's some things you can choose to release.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all on you. But you don't have to feel the pressure from society to say, hey, we want...
Yeah, I've been trying to challenge myself lately to, like, listen to myself
Yeah.
And what I want, because we can be so conditioned
mm-hmm.
Into like how we what we think we should be doing
mm-hmm.
that we don't even recognize that it's not what we want to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah. It's such a challenge to like, because I was saying like, even when I think about like dancing, like when you're dancing, like ideally you should just be doing whatever you feel mm-hmm. like you should be doing in the moment. But like usually you're like, okay, is this going to look good? Like,
mm-hmm.
what am I going to look like?
Self-criticism yeah. too. Yeah. Yeah, man. I think it's crazy how a creative person really is like, you know how it says, like, the angel on one side, the devil on the other side?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you got the ideas, the beautiful golden ideas, everything mm-hmm. just shining on yeah. this side. And then on the other side, just sitting there looking at every idea and, like,
scrutinizing.
Yeah, and it's yeah. like, then you get caught, you're like, but this is a really good idea, but then this voice over here, it's still kind of making sense, and it's like...
Yeah, I've been, thinking a lot about that lately because I'm very creative, but I'm also very analytical and
mm-hmm.
like usually it's like one or the other.
mm-hmm.
And so have felt like I have been like at war with myself. But what I'm realizing, like the only way to make use of that is to let the analytical side feed the creative side. It's not like they're fighting each other. It's like the analytical side needs to be the side that makes sure that the creativity happens and not tearing it down.
Man, yeah, because I'd be going at it, you know, be just feeling inspired going at it. And then at the end, when I'm finishing, I listen back to it. I'd be like, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's yeah. wrong, that's wrong. And it's like, man, just believe in you because to me, that's your pure self when you're flowing.
Mm-hmm.
When you just flow. Because yeah. it's not coming from a fixed place.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Just flow.
I was telling my mom the other day that, like, this is the time in history when we've been the most available to people, mm-hmm. accessible. Like, yeah. someone has your contact information.
Like,
they can,
nothing.
Like, reach you
yeah.
at any time. And we feel like some sense of obligation to, like, always be available for people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's definitely, personally, I've noticed that it's not good for my own anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if that has something to do with, right now, like, anxiety is, like, the number one mental health issue people deal with. And I feel like it could have something to do with just the level of accessibility that we have to the world and our, like, feeling like we have to always be available. And if you always feel like at any point, like, you can be called upon or someone can, like, give you some feedback that you don't necessarily want to hear, you know, it's just, like, how do we protect ourselves against that constant accessibility?
Oh, man. that's something that's, I don't think the internet's gonna shut down worldwide, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah. So it's like we have to put our own safeguards in place to protect ourselves.
You really do. And I think that when you think like that, when mm-hmm. you, when you're one of those, because I think like that,
yeah.
you know, like I have to find, I'm able to be accessed by anything in actuality. The only thing I can do is protect myself if something is right in front of me. You know what I mean? But I feel like when you do have that mindset, like, okay, I have to protect myself some way. You know what I'm saying? This is the norm to people now. Mm-hmm. So even when you think like that, you're weird.
Mm-hmm.
Or what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
It's like, no, like, I think privacy and personal space
mm-hmm.
is really becoming extinct.
Yeah.
You know, like, especially personal space. Nobody believes you should have any personal space at all. Like, I think one of the things that tripped me out on, like, when I used to get on Facebook, before you write the status, the first few words is, what's on your mind? It's like, it used to be a while ago, whatever was on your mind was up in here. And nobody knew what was on your mind unless you, just, you know, you told them.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the one thing you had to yourself was your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because you take everything from me, but you can't take me up here. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just like, now we're just so, we allow things into our minds. And we give our mind to everything. So, to me, I don't know if anything would be... Humanity probably just really has to get tired.
And I think it will, because everything goes in cycles.
Yeah, they just really have to... really get tired. You look at the wave of hardcore drill music. It was really cool. Now, a lot of people don't want to hear that type of music, you know what I'm saying? Or what they call mumble rap was really, really cool. Mm-hmm. Now, you got a lot of people saying, I'm sick of hearing mumble rap, you know what I'm saying? So, like I said, they just got to get tired of it. Once everybody get tired, like, you know what? Enough is enough.
Yeah.
Until then, it's going to always be that way.
So, how would you summarize what we've talked about today? Do you see any sort of, like, through line? I'm trying to think about all that we've talked. Because we went to a lot of places.
That's what I'm saying. I feel I did horrible.
No, you didn't. I mean, it's a conversation, so. Yeah, I think the through line is, like, how much you give to the world. Because we started off with you talking about, like, if you want to, like, share that piece of your past with people, given where you are now.
Or maybe... Yeah, something like that, or maybe even having a balance with your relationship with the world, or something like that, in between those lines. And like you said, being a creative on top of that, you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh man, we did talk about a lot, and I'm gaining so many conclusions. It's not really no, like I said, this was therapy. A lot of my thoughts, a lot of things that I've thought, podcast answering questions to questions of most creatives. Of most, you know, just, man, this brought a lot of healing, man.
I'm glad.
It really did.
What do you think it takes to get from a superficial conversation to, like, a deeper conversation? Because this podcast is about, like, encouraging more authentic interactions with the people around you. But what do you think it takes to get there? You were talking about how you had an unexpected conversation at the video shoot. I think we talked about it before you started recording. What do you think, like, in that interaction, what do you think it took to get from, like... Or even in our conversation that we had when we met, it went to some pretty deep places, but I don't even know really how it got there. You know, it just did. So, like, if we're encouraging people to have these kinds of conversations, like... How do they do it so it's not, like, awkward or pushy or, like, too heavy? Because this doesn't feel heavy. Because for me, the main way I do it is on my podcast. And, like, usually when I do that on my podcast, like, it can break down, like, some barriers to, like, future conversations that I have with people. I mean, sometimes it's people that I've had, like, deep conversations with, and I feel like it would be a good conversation to have on the podcast, but other times it's been like someone that I haven't really talked to very much. And it's just like, okay, we're gonna have a deep conversation, and the reason we're gonna have it because I have a podcast where we have deep conversations. It's not just like me imposing myself to have a deep conversation, but I do want to become better at doing that, because I feel like I have trouble sometimes, like, trying to direct a conversation in a specific
way. Feel like that's probably where the problem is, directing it, trying to direct it to go in a certain direction. Usually with me, all my deep conversations, it ends up just, me and the person just happen, and we end up clicking on a subject that we both understand and are interested in.
Yeah.
And we dive on that particular subject, and then somehow it just transfers to us just talking about other thoughts and other things that we're interested in.
So I guess it's just a certain level of openness to having those kinds of conversations.
And just even that person, trust your discernment.
Yeah.
That person making you feel comfortable enough to have that conversation. You know, I believe that sometimes with this openness, we forget that we have, some of us have intuition, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So we have to be cautious of who we're being open with, you know what I'm saying? Right. So I believe if you have a good level of discernment and you feel comfortable with being open and going deep, then go have at it. But if it's always like a deep gutted feeling of, you know, if you can't flow, if you really find a hard time flowing, then it ain't for you to flow.
Yeah.
You know? So to me, I feel like whenever you talk to someone, just let it be. If you end up in deep conversation, you end up in deep conversation. If you don't, you don't. But majority of the time, I feel like two people, they end up connecting. And when they end up talking, they find that one subject that they're both really into and they both have a deep perspective on.
Yeah.
And then once they have at it, then that's when everything, just like you get to the level of, I'm comfortable with this person now because I have a little taste of this person's mind, you know? Mm-hmm. So I feel like this person can keep up, or I feel like this person won't be too weirded out by where I'm finna go.
You know what I mean? Right.
So, yeah.
So have you thought of a challenge?
I don't know. Something like that, maybe. Challenge yourself not to be so forceful, but just flow.
Mm-hmm.
When you go out, meet people, and, you know, they talk to you, they talk to you. If they don't, they don't. But if they do, allow yourself to flow in the conversation. If you find a subject that y'all into and y'all can really go into, don't be afraid to, you know? Don't be afraid.
My aunt, she said the other day, something like the universe is conspiring for your benefit or something like that. Yeah,
opportunities. Universe brings you opportunities all the time.
And I, like, I find trouble with that because I have a hard time trusting that things will be what they're supposed to be. And so I feel like some sort of obligation to, like, okay, I have to make it happen. And so I think, like, just having that level of trust that things will be what they're supposed to be. Stay open to receive it. Stay open so that you can see it when it comes. Because if your eyes are closed, then, I mean, even if the universe is conspiring, you can miss it.
You really can, man. You really can. That's why it's important to be in tune. It's important to be in tune.
And that's a wrap. As usual, you can reach out to me on Instagram or Facebook at FamTalkPod to let me know what you thought of this episode. Make sure you're rating and reviewing the podcast on Apple Podcasts and share it with a friend. If you're looking for more ways to support, you can head over to anchor.fm/FamTalk and scroll down and you'll see a support button. Here you can pledge monthly support of 99 cents, $4.99, or $9.99. Thank you so much for tuning in. You have been listening to Fam Talk. I'm your host, Kenesha Rice, and I'll be back soon with another episode. But until then, I'm sending peace and love your way. Later, fam. Was it as bad as you thought it was going to be?
No. Not as bad at all. Actually, it's very very healing.
It's good. Cool.
Feel weightless and a lot more confident.
Good.
It's like you got a load off, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, got the load off on to the next thing.
Yeah.